Well, again, it's great to see so many people here. Look at this, even the front row is all full. That's kind of un-Catholic, isn't it? How beautiful. And then I forgot to give a shout out. I think the overflow is full too, so we're happy that all you people out there, we're with you here in spirit, of course. Brothers and sisters, have you ever noticed how strange all of the appearances of the resurrection are? All these accounts that we find in the Gospels and even in the Acts of the Apostles as well. They're all very bizarre, kind of otherworldly they seem. And this is not happenstance. Everything, literally everything has changed because Christ is risen from the dead. Everything. And we are meant to live differently as a result. He doesn't want us to fall back into our former darkness, but rather to walk in his wonderful, albeit strange, light. And we see this dynamic at play in today's gospel passage. We have the empty tomb. What's going on here? Jesus isn't here, an empty tomb. You know, Mary Magdalene goes to look. Then the cloths are separated, the one for the head, the one for the body, which is strange. And then Mary and Peter and John, some of his very closest friends, don't quite know what to make of it, even though he's told them 2-3 times that this is going to happen. It still doesn't quite register. It's something is very, very different here. And indeed, an entirely new and amazing reality is at hand. Through his victory over sin and death, Christ has given them and us the opportunity to cast off our brokenness and worldliness and to thereby live in true freedom. That's what Christ desires for us, true freedom. And this is very good news. And just like Mary Magdalene, Peter, and John, we too are called to trust in the Lord, embrace this radical new life that he offers us, and be not afraid in going out to share the good news. It has to start with you and I personally, though. That's where it all starts. Only if we give ourselves permission to be amazed by our Lord. That's what happens when we walk the path of conversion. Only if we give him permission to amaze us can we welcome and live out this marvelous new reality. Otherwise, we won't even be aware of it, or we might give it short shrift. And then we'll focus primarily on worldly realities. And it happens all the time, where we prioritize worldly realities over the Lord. Now, St. Paul is certainly amazed and aware, as we can see in today's second reading. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed, Paul says. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast, not with the old yeast, the yeast of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Clear out the old yeast so that you may become a fresh batch of dough. This is beautiful stuff from Paul. And this is precisely what Lent is supposed to help us to do. And hopefully all of us have taken full advantage to all the practices of the church that she gives us. This is how we live out our baptismal identity, the beautiful identity that the Lord has given us through that wonderful sacrament, and thereby avoid falling back into former darkness. And there it is, friends, the whole key to Christian life, baptism. It's so fundamentally important. Indeed, it is the fundamental sacrament, the very gateway, and in many ways the foundation that unites us intimately with our Savior, every aspect of our Savior, and thereby opens up the possibility of life in him, which isn't just a little bit better than life as we know it now. It's a radically new life steeped in resurrection glory, not in darkness and sin. So a life lived this way will definitely seem strange to worldly eyes. But be not afraid, because this is the very life that Christ desires for you and I, as Paul beautifully articulates in an optional second reading for today. There's two options, and I can't help but pull from both of them. But the other option is from Colossians 3, and Paul says, "Seek what is above, not what is on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." That's beautiful. You have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Death and darkness no longer have power over Christ. So they shouldn't over us either. We don't have to let them have power over us. we just say yes to Him. And then from last night's liturgy, from Paul as well, a passage from Romans 6. As to His death, he's talking about Christ here. As to His death, Christ died to sin once and for all. As to His life, He lives for God. Consequently, you too must think of yourselves as being dead to sin and living for God in Christ Jesus. Beautiful stuff. Notice he emphasizes for God. Christ, His life lives for God. Consequently, you and I should live our lives for God. Not for me, but for Him. That's how He truly sets us free. That's where the liberty and the beauty of becoming a Christian comes from. Yes, this is the beautiful, marvelous life that we're called to. But it's not easy. It's not easy. Nobody ever said it was. Well, some people actually claim it is, but Jesus never did, right? Almost from the very beginning of time, humans have struggled to obediently walk with God. Even though He's the only one who truly wants what is best for us and never has ulterior motives. Everything that He gives us is all gift for us. He doesn't benefit at all. He's eternally perfect. He's eternally happy, whether I follow Him or not. He wants me to follow Him. But so everything that He gives is gratuitous. He doesn't give it to us so He benefits. He gives it so we benefit. Just a quick sweep through salvation history. In the beginning, God created everything out of the superabundance of His love. The love that He desired to share with His creatures. That's the reason why He created. Because He wanted to share this beautiful love that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have had from all eternity. And the crown jewel of creation is humanity. Things went sideways, though. They went awry in the garden, as we know. Despite God's infinite love and goodness, Adam and Eve turned away from Him. And the whole universe was broken as a result. Not just humans, not just earth, the whole universe, all of creation was broken, was corrupted as a result. Yet God responded, not with vengeance, but with a rescue plan, with mercy. He called Abraham to become the father in faith for all of humanity and to lead humans back to God. And Abraham passed the test. Yet his descendants struggled to faithfully follow God and ended up in slavery in Egypt. God responded again with the amazing Exodus, the parting of the Red Sea. Before that, the plagues. We have the 10 plagues, the last one, the killing of the firstborn. Pharaoh says, get out of here, go. And then the Lord parts the Red Sea and the Hebrews go through. The Egyptians try to go and they get swallowed up in the water. This is a prefigurement of baptism. It's a beautiful, beautiful reality. But even after this amazing display of love and power, which is the defining moment in Jewish history, it's the biggest moment in all of Jewish history, the chosen people strayed from God time and again and paid dearly. And we think especially of the exile, the two exiles, the first, the 10 tribes, the lost 10 tribes of Israel, and then the Babylonians came and took the last two tribes and completely destroyed Jerusalem, the temple and everything. What does God do? Well, just keeps responding with His relentless mercy. He even went so far as to send His only begotten Son to die for our sins and pave the way to new life that infinitely exceeds anything that the world can offer. And yet we still stray, just like the Hebrews. Even after Christ, we still stray. Therefore, friends, a crucial question that we have to ask and answer ourselves. Do you live differently because of the resurrection? Does it matter to you? Or is it just the name of this parish? Is it just something that we celebrate, especially on Easter and on Sundays, but I don't know if it really does anything for me. The world will never be the same because of Christ's great victory, and He wants you and me to live it out with Him. So allow Him to amaze you every day. Don't grow complacent, brothers and sisters. Allow Him to knock your socks off. Welcome the strangeness, beauty, and splendor of the entirely new life that He offers you. Sin is actually boring, if you think about it. It may sound good on the surface, in the moment, but we know how it ends up every time. Leaves us wanting, leaves us disappointed, leaves us hurt. It doesn't bring the happiness that it may promise on the surface. So don't live the lie. Stop living the lie. brothers and sisters. Instead, live out the shocking radicality of your baptism in Jesus by dying to yourself and rising to new life with Him each and every day, so that you can walk in the glorious freedom of the children of God and go out full of peace and joy beyond all understanding to share the good news about our Savior with a world that desperately needs to hear it.